We are now at ARDC.
We are meeting this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon. I'm inviting everyone who is here, including, I'm going to call out Rhonda Garner, since you've said that you are open to help us work on...
Where is this meeting?
It will be at the...
Gregory School.
African American Library at the Gregory School in Friedenstown. They open at 10 a.m., so our meeting will start about 5 minutes after 10 and end at 12 noon.
Is this a fundraiser, bringing money to the school?
No,
I'm volunteering to help people raise money for the school.
That is something we will bring up during this meeting.
Okay. So I want to be clear on what I'm volunteering for.
Yes.
I will assist you in having a fundraiser.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
For members of the advisory board?
Go right ahead.
We all know...
Is this a report?
That is one of the obligations...
It's an inquiry, I think.
That this station and every station has to have a community advisory board.
An active one, anyway.
Our problem is that we have the guidelines, and some parts of the guidelines are the... Keep talking or shut up. I can shut up on that, too.
Just talk louder.
Okay, well, first off, I want you to state your business as it relates to the community advisory board.
Yes, sir. What I said, that I was trying to explain, the CPB, we have the obligation to have the community advisory board. And part of that, and it's part of our standing and special rules, we have the maximum, they have 2 years for the people that the community...
Membership on the committee.
The membership. And doesn't need to be, couldn't be staff or board members, right?
Non-LSP.
Non-LSP, not staff.
Management.
It's our obligation.
Not staff.
Not management.
No, it says management. No, not management or governance.
So that's
exactly.
Only 3 employees.
Exactly.
Okay.
We need to be sure that it's not working. I saw one posting there in KPFTX, but we need to ask specifically what is being done. We have a chair. We had a chair of the CAP that is more than 2 years there. The LSP is the one that, the request for membership come to the LSP. And the LSP is the one that approved the membership of CAP. Well, we don't have that request since a long time, and we are not doing what we are supposed
well,
to
I'm,
do.
Well, I'm gonna get to your request, but I'm gonna ask a question because I was stood down just a year ago when I indicated that this CAP was a subcommittee of the LSB.
No.
And you were one of those who argued against that.
Exactly.
But how then can the LSB have the authority to approve it if it's not under it?
Sir, it's not. You can read the bylaws.
I thought I had. So tell me, who does it answer to?
They don't answer to anybody. But we, the LSB, have the obligation to approve the membership.
Yes.
They are independent. So that's why they are not supervised.
Well, we've already approved the membership, so why are you standing? Why are you standing now talking about it if all our job to do is to approve the membership?
Because we need to have the reports, sir. It's the obligation of this station.
You just indicated that the LSB has no purview over the committee, so how can it demand a report?
That's not what I said.
I'll get a stat. I'll get a stat.
You want me to read it? You want anybody who wants to read it?
Hold on.
Okay.
Let's go.
Now, I'm going to let you read. You have the floor, but I want to get this stack done. Teresa, who else?
I think Ted was first.
No, I'm getting the stack together. I got Ted, Teresa, and who else?
Bill?
That's it? Okay, Adriana, continue. Because I want to get to the gist of why you're rising, what you're proposing needs to be done.
According to the CPB, the community advisory board requirements are written here, and we need to abide with this. The composition said the station may exercise a reasonable degree of discretion in selecting advisory board members, the board should be reasonable, representing of the diverse needs and interests of the community served at the station. No individual representative of any particular group has the legal right to membership, nor does the law empower any person, court, or government agency to require a station take or refrain from taking any action with respect to station programming or policies. The composition of the community advisory board must reflect its independent role and might not include members of the station staff or government or governing body in anything other than an ex-official.
I gotta stop you right there because there was some issue about staff or management, and it clearly says staff,
okay,
not management. So let's put that on the record.
Staff or government?
And government.
Governance.
That means anybody who worked for the station.
The result of non-compliance. CPB might not distribute any of its funds to any community licensed public broadcasting station that does not have an advisory board which meets the requirements of the law. This prohibition against the distribution of funds is the exclusive remedy for enforcement of this requirement. Here are the
enforcement. I want that part reread. I like enforcement. What did you say about enforcement?
The CPB will not distribute any money or any grants.
No cab, no money.
But we know for a fact that of our violations of the CPB, at least what I've read of the violations why we're not receiving CPB money, has nothing to do with cabs across the network. CAB wasn't the problem then.
Right.
But you're saying CAB is a problem now because it's not functional.
Could be.
And it hasn't been active.
Yes.
That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I do want to acknowledge Marianne Martinez, which is most of all of our friends, has done a great yeoman's work. She started out very strong, but she's gotten, like many of us, disenchanted, disgruntled, unappreciated. She would come here and couldn't give her reports. So I know where she stands. I know why we're at where we are. Now, if you're suggesting we need to repopulate the committee to get her some people who are going to do the right thing or to let them re-chair themselves, let's do it if that's what you're suggesting. I've got Ted Lindries.
I would like to suggest that we move on and address this issue as a part of unfinished business at our next month's meeting. At that time, we will know who has been elected to the local station board and those people who are not would seem to be right candidates. And in the interim, I and other members of this board, but I will reach out to Marianne Martinez to find out what the status of the body is and be able to report to the board next month.
As Vice Chair, you do that in capacity for as Vice Chair. Teresa?
Mr. Chair, I was going to suggest that our Vice Chair approach the Director of the CAB and deal with it.
Okay. All right, Bill.
I'll pass. That's fine with me.
Okay, very good. So, we remember it. That's the question. All right. Now, the next thing and the last thing I think we've got.
Committee of Inclusion.
That's Adriana, I don't believe she has any.
I'm still waiting for the members to participate.
Okay. Yes. Hey, I think that's what Marianne's issue is.
We have three meetings that didn't reach the quorum. It was the people that want to be part, they are not there. But one of the big problems is elections, too. I mean, I'm still waiting for the report from the election because that is a big part of what the COI does, and we need to report this to the PMB.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I think we've reached the point in the meeting for item 11C moved up to 8D. I would like to suggest that for this particular discussion, that
because there was already an approval for 40 minutes, and we are about 2 minutes before that 40 minutes could not be used. So before we do that, I want to address 8C, Ad Hoc Committee on Program Council. George got a Motion passed through the PMB that directed local managers to work with the local station board. That has not happened. And it's not happened because the general manager don't want it to happen. This is why we don't have a program council or a program committee in the absence of a program director, which I think one of the members pointed out is needed more now than ever. So, having said that, we're at that 40-minute point now. We'll go to 8C.
As a committee of the whole, it says in Roberts that the chairperson in a committee of the whole is not the chair of the board, and I would like to suggest that since this is George's item, that he, unless there are objections, that he be the chair of this discussion.
Second.
Well, this chair has no objections. George, you have the gavel.
Okay, so this is intended as to get some ideas out, and I'm going to have to participate as to set it off, to share some ideas that were developed on the national board as part of a strategic plan. Adriana was very much involved in that discussion that went on for about 7 months, but they are transferable to a local area. So what I'll do is I'll share with you what they would look like if we were to implement the strategic plan locally. The basic idea is to use special events as a means to reaching out to new audiences. There are groups of people in the city who would love to have access to the kind of access we have to the airwaves to promote their causes. That are trying to reach out to audiences that that progressive audiences that listen to us. They themselves have membership. They have lists of people. They have connections and networks and social networking that they use to make that we could use. By putting them on the air, by putting their special event on the air, they would promote it for us. They would make their membership aware that this is going to happen. We're interested in this. You know, a lot of those people will listen, and most of them have never heard of Pacifica. I mean, it's really shocking, but most of the progressive people in this city, in fact, don't listen to Pacifica and don't even know it exists. So that's the basic idea. Is to partner with community organizations that already have a constituency, that have a purpose for using us. The thing that we can provide is some skill in putting it on the air, some production values. We did this nationally with the Green Party National Convention, and Otis McClay basically provided that, and Mark Bavali, and did it very well. So we took this event, which the Green Party very much was glad to have out in the air, and we turned it into something that was listenable. That was not listenable, but was interesting to listen to. So that's the proposal, that we actively solicit this, that we make people aware in this. Because one of the things that can happen is, I mean, that happened because I was involved at both ends. I had already made this proposal. I went and talked to the national program director, who was one of the program directors at KPFK. He is the program director at KPFK. And he went for it, and I'm also connected with the Green Party, so it was easy to make that happen. But we need to reach out to lots of other groups, and you all have connections. Many of you are activists. Many of you have long-standing connections with people who are also activists and groups here. We need to make it known that we're available. We are here for you. We want to be the platform on which community voices reach out from one to the other, where they get to be heard by other people that they're trying to reach. So that's the basic idea. Another piece of it was community partnerships, which is Basically, it's underwriting, but with for progressive organizations. And in fact, this board has approved it already, way back. And it hasn't really raised much money. I don't know that it ever will, but it's certainly part of looking to the community organizations around us for ways in which we can assist each other. We need them now. We need their support. We need the support of their people. We need the new audience that this would provide. So that's the basic idea. And I'm going to sit back as a chair now, and basically I'll take questions, but I also want to see other people's ideas as to where we should go from here and come out. So I saw our AIDS banner first, and then I saw...
41 seconds left.
What?
41 seconds for what?
Isn't it a 5-minute item?
No, it's 40 minutes. Actually, it's going to take us to 10
o'clock. It's going to take us the rest of the meeting.
10.
I have three ideas that I hope will be reflected in the minutes of this meeting. The first one is that Robin Lewis provided me as chair of the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee with this 7-page spreadsheet. All the pages are full, but the information is not complete. Some are lacking phone numbers, some are lacking email addresses, but this is an A through Z list of community organizations that needs to be filled in and then reached out to. So that's number one. Number two is the HISD Student Congress had a show on KPFT. They are the group that filed an amicus brief regarding the unfair funding of public schools in the state of Texas. Were written up in the Washington Post, the Houston Chronicle, and they had a show last year. They have not resumed that show this year. We need to reach out to them. They meet on the last Saturday of this month, and I would like to bring some members of this body with me to that meeting and to assist them. Stephanie Coleman has been working with some kids every Friday at KPFT. They are willing to work with the Student Congress. And so that's a way to reach out to all of the students in HISD. If that isn't a big enough audience, I don't know what is. And lastly, I hope that everyone here will work really hard on getting people to show up for the town hall meeting. And by doing that, and I want to take it upon myself, unless there's some objection, of putting flyers in every programmer's mailbox.
You haven't got enough of that? Oh, I'm
sorry. Asking them to spread the word to their audience as well as to their people on their show, so that the community can tell them their wants, needs, and concerns relative to their programs. Thank you.
And Jana, and then Hank, and then I can't hear you.
When we talk about town hall meetings, we need to be sure that we don't disenfranchise people. I remember the last town hall meeting that this LSD had last year, and I remember that all the public that we have were Spanish-speaking people, all of them. They come up, we have a motion from the PMB, and they come up with wonderful ideas or programs, but and those people talk to us in that, Teresa was there too, in that town hall meeting. And then the result from what they ask and what they concern that they present is nothing. That is one of the things that we need to be careful. When we invite the community, we need to be sure that we ask for that, but not to say, okay, thank you, goodbye, and we don't talk anymore. That is the first thing. And the second, when we talk about partnership, that is being called underwriting, I have a problem with that. But I don't believe that I, myself, I'm not Pacifica. I'm just one person, right? I think that is a conversation that is bigger than us, I don't believe in underwriting, because we will be the little sister of NPR, and they do a wonderful job like that, and they lost a bunch of people because of that. We have a bunch of programmers that are putting their all their effort without a cent, but that is different. We need to be really careful when we talk about underwriting. We have our council, that is Mr. Kriegel, that gave us a whole report how, because depending how we do and what we do, we can make Pacifica Foundation to lose the non-profit status, and that will be catastrophic. That's why when we talk about underwriting, we need to be sure that there's some guidance that are being done for our council. If not, we are risking a foundation. That's why I personally don't believe in underwriting, but I believe in democracy. If the whole family, the Pacifica family, decide that want to go to underwriting, I am not, you know, my vote will be no, but, you know, whatever the decision is. But even if we decide that, it's bigger than us and need to have a strict guidelines, because if not, we will lose what we got.
Wesley wants to be on the
set. I got him. Hank, then Deb, then Dwayne, then Teresa, then Bill, then Wesley.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree we need to reach out to as much and as wide a variety of communities as we can. But we won't be doing that unless part of what we're doing is raising money. You know, if you can't pay the electric bill, you can't run a station. And if you can't pay the phone bills, you're not legally allowed to run a station. Whatever planning we do for the future needs to really involve heavy fundraising, because we're failing at it because we've been using the same model for 46 years, and it's been steadily failing for at least 20. So, I'm working on fundraisers, doing them, some successful, some not, but I'm on the plus side with raising money, so I would encourage everybody to get involved, everybody on the board to get involved with that. And having said my piece, I'm going to beg everybody's forgiveness and see if I can get out of here and go to bed early for an evening. I'm running on a sleep deficit since well before the festival, so.
Deb?
I have an idea. Actually, I'm stealing this one from Don. He does bridge blogging, and it's not a billboard, but it's more attractive than billboarding, because you're not there all the time. You can change your message, and I would certainly be willing to steal the idea from Don and let him sue me. If people think it's a good idea, I'll start collecting collecting, you know, mattress cartons and stuff like that that you need to paint to put up. What you do is go up on the bridges over 59, and you're probably seen by 30,000 cars.
Yeah, how many you got to see calculated?
You've seen about 50,000 per hour in rush hour. Hour.
Yeah. Well, that's what we don't live there. We just go for rush hour.
Yeah. So it's about 4,000 an hour. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So just twinkle if you think that's a good idea. I'd like to participate in it.
Okay. Good. Good. I'll get started on it.
Okay. Can't respect you all.
Dwayne.
Well, thank you for the suggestion of these 40 minutes. When I got on the board in 2009, I was given a copy of the strategic plan for KPFT of 2003.
Seven, if I'm not mistaken.
Quite excited about trying to get under it and into it and with it. But there was no leadership on it. I was not the chair, vice chair, or anybody. I was expecting the general manager to kind of come and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. But it's been sitting on the shelf. So today, I don't have a problem with underwriting, ladies and gentlemen, because the truth of the matter is we've been underwriting for 40 years. The truth of the matter is whenever you say, come, let's go to Hickahawk Chomp Chomp and have a beer, you're underwriting.
What did you say?
Anytime you tell somebody to go to the Monkey Duck, you're underwriting.
Yep.
I'm driving in here today and get a ticket to hear hookah hookah mooka mooka. That's underwriting, ladies and gentlemen. It's called a commercial. Whether you're going to pay for it or whether or not, whether you're going to give it for free. But anytime you mention a product, a place, thing, whatever, you're underwriting. So get over it. Now, the next thing, policy guidelines. The problem we get in trouble with is because we don't have policies on things, so we can willy-nilly it any way we want to. So I agree with ethical underwriting. You want to put a name in it, an adjective in it. Ethical meaning you don't take it from certain entities that are known as dirty and nasty, cold, Exxon. Okay, do that. But the reality is that the funding models, Teresa, you've heard me use this term for several years now, the modalities are outdated. Of the funding models that we're using called on-air fundraisers. So the reality of the matter is, we're either going to join, or you're going to come up with another concept to raise money, which you can't go out and ask for big donors because you haven't done it in years. You really don't know how to set up what we call affinity relationships with organizations and entities of like-mindedness that might seed some of their money into you. So the reality of the matter is that your competition is KCHB, KUHT, there are three religious stations close to us that's raising buku money, okay, from underwriting. KUHT, KTSU are immediate competitors, and just pay attention to the FCC rulings. Pay attention to how when I first got in radio in 1978, when you had to have a first-class FCC license, you had to learn what a transmitter, how it operated. You had to go out and fix the transmitter. You don't do like you do now. Just wake up one morning and go and get on the mic. So what I'm suggesting to you is that if you're not going to do it like KTSU, if you're not going to do it like KUHT, you're not going to do it like KCHB, you've got to come up with your own concept, but it ain't going to be asking folk for money every 2 months, and it's not going to be sending out a letter to folk asking them for money every 2 months. It has got to be building relationships, whether it's a business, whether it's a person, whether it's a rich philanthropist, or whatever, but it's underwriting, ladies and gentlemen. That is our future.
Teresa.
Yeah, I just have to respond to, I agree with you, Mr. Chair.
Yep.
I was on the PNB when our affiliates, over 150 of them, had told our affiliate director that they wanted underwriting. She put extensive work into developing an underwriting plan and consulted our attorney, Mr. Kriegler, and had a great plan just for our affiliates, little stations like the Immokalee workers in Florida, and stations that are so small, like just like one little studio in a building owned by Indie Media in like Urbana, Illinois, and we turned it down. Where we could have made money to help those people. We could have helped them raise money, and they give us money, and it would have been a perfect service just for them. And it was turned down by the PNB. So that is so sad. And to suggest that we would compromise ourselves is just not right. And surprisingly, our executive director left very soon after that, and he had extensive experience from a station that raised over a million dollars a year in underwriting. So if there was anybody that would understand how underwriting works, it would have been John Prophet. So it just saddens me.
I'll put you on the stack for people who are going to speak a second time. Teresa, will you finish?
So, I just think that part of our problem here is that we have compromised the income stream from our affiliates. And that needs to be addressed, and it can only be addressed by the PNB. And that's all I have to say right now.
Bill.
Okay, thank you. Well, just to clarify something, I believe Adrian said earlier on the John Kriegler, who's our FCC attorney for Pacifica, the letter he sent about underwriting was, you know, just point out there's things you can do wrong that could endanger your nonprofit status. But, you know, obviously you don't do those things, you're not a problem. Lots of stations do underwriting legally. But I wasn't going to, I don't want to talk mostly about that. I want to get back to what George mentioned originally, which is the high idea, which I think is really excellent. We need to be looking at ways of increasing our audience, getting more listeners, who in turn will end up, a fraction of them, hopefully a good fraction, will become members and donors. You know, that's what we try to reverse. All over the country, nonprofit or public radio stations have been losing listeners over the last 10 or 15 years. More people are listening other ways than radio. I don't think radio is dead, but it's, you know, more people are listening to recorded stuff. And I think we need to utilize that also, as well as over-the-air things. And I think exactly what George was saying, we should be looking at ways, every opportunity we have, like they do with the Green Party convention. One thing we didn't do with that, though, we covered it on the air, but we should have had tables there with information about Pacifica and all of our stations at the convention. Yep. We didn't do that. And also, I think all of the Pacifica stations should have promoted it more, because explicitly asked, like the Green Party, maybe they did, you know, to promote it to their members. Because I think that sort of model would really help. But for example, say you had a big environmental event or a conference or something that was bringing in people from other cities here or in any of our Pacific cities. You know, if we covered it online, it doesn't have to be live even. Record it, take the best parts of it, and broadcast it. Do it on the air, do it on the web, whatever. We're giving them coverage. Ask them explicitly to tell their members to listen. And we don't have to ask them to join. Just ask them to listen. And they'll tell their friends, and of course use social media every way we can to help spread the word. And we can get people to listen that aren't even in our local geographic region. Because we shouldn't be limited just to people in the Houston area. I got a pledge today from somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who's answering the phones again this morning, because he listens online. He doesn't have anything in Tulsa like it, KPFT. And we do get calls from all over the country, sometimes in other countries even, who have discovered us by accident. But I think we could use help. Working through networks, other organizations, we help them cover their events, as George was suggesting, but ask them to tell their friends about us. Because we've got to figure out ways of reducing the, or reversing the drop in listenership. And I think this is maybe one of the best ways we could do it. And it shouldn't cost much. It's going to take some time. But I think if we all help and not just expect somebody else to do the work, you know, we can do this. Thank you.
Wesley.
Yeah, I'm a humorist and I'm an attorney. I don't know payola from Shinola, but I'm flip-flopping. Sorry, I don't have it. I'm flip-flopping on this corporate underwriting thing, you know. I mean, I hear the Do-Si-Do's got really great chicken fried steak. You should get the gravy on the side.
Why not pay for it?
Why not make them pay for it? Of course, that's going to limit some people who will go out there and collect the funds and the booking agents and those brokerage who volunteer heavily, and some are on staff at KPFD. But I suggest that everyone define payola, and also when you're considering these, you know, actually going and brought to you by the Mucky Duck, brought to you by, you know, where you're
House of Blue.
Yeah, these big venues and stuff. We, you know, to hide our head into the sand, we're putting us up for a possible litigation where we lose a lawsuit. So I just suggest everyone define payola and come back with it when we have our executive session. Thank you.
Lloyd Parker of Shape is fond of saying we are in a circle of interdependence, and some of you may understand that we're only six people removed from every person on Earth. In other words, if we network and ask people to ask people get feedback, we can find solutions to questions we may have. I do not know how to do it, but I have thought of the idea of one form of advertising, an era of light-emitting diodes and cheaper electronics, is having display-type signs made of LEDs that are in automobiles or on the backs of automobiles or whatever, that will be visible to other cars in traffic. And when you're in a traffic jam or somebody's following you down the freeway or whatever, you can be playing messages to them. You know, tune in to KPFC 90.1 or whatever you want to say. So all we need to do is have someone who has the innovation and the technological ability to create such a thing or find where one is available inexpensively, and we could be advertising that way. Another thing that may seem ridiculous is using drones. We have planes that fly over with banners during good weather, but at much lower levels, we could have drones showing banners as well.
No. You guys have the license.
Yeah.
Oh.
And as far as the KPFT claim,
it
has to be used with discretion, of course, and with all safety concerns and so forth. But it's just an idea. So anyway, I'm just throwing some seeds out there to think about. Maybe you may know someone that you can ask and bring us some feedback on new technologies for advertising.
Ted.
Okay. When Democracy Now! Was moved to its new time of, it's not new anymore, but 7 o'clock, we made a banner, and it's still, I think, at the station, and it's something that can be held over the bridges, or on the bridges, and so I'm pointing that out because it's something we've done. Secondly, I think a committee that involves Teresa, because she knows what language, I think, was created in terms of doing underwriting. Some of the work is already done. And what we need to do is to address some of Adriana's concerns, and we need to move on this and not just talk about it. But a special committee needs to be formed when we're not in committee of the whole, but coming out of this process, we need to have such a committee with a time and a date for a meeting so that we can move on this starting by next month.
Yes.
Very good idea. Let me get on the stack.
Okay. So anybody who hasn't spoken yet would like to speak.
I know this is an old idea, but when I worked in broadcast radio, I'm sure you saw the signs that had 97 Rock, 101 KLOL. I was thinking about, since we're a nonprofit, get at least 5 billboards around town where there's like heavy congestion of traffic, and you know, just have a billboard written in Spanish or a billboard directed towards African American community, to the Asian community, and there's still a lot of people who do not know about KPFT exist. Like when I go around to the clubs and a lot of the concerts that I DJ at, they go, KPFT what? It's been around 46 years? I didn't know that. And I thought, my God, they don't know about that. But I think that's one way to grab people out there, is to have those billboards along the highways.
Well, actually, I've had some radio, and it occurred to me, since we are a nonprofit, and your original idea was about partnering with other organizations that are progressive, if we could actually set up billboards, and you know, we could take a third of the billboard and find another entity that wants a third of the billboard, another entity wants a third of the billboard, we could actually get these things for a whole lot less cost and share cost of such things with other communities. So I think that might be a way of making that more cost effective.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken wants to? Okay, so I had taken a list of people who indicated they wanted to speak again. I have Deb, Adriana, and Dwayne.
I wanted to I was going to propose what Ted proposed. I'm going to put myself on the list because I think I would like you to establish a committee now with a specific meeting date so we can get going on this. Underwriting, the danger of underwriting is like when you've got a monster corporation like Citibank or somebody and there's a scandal on Citibank, you don't dare report the news. So we can arrange to have, I mean, mom and pop's grocery store or the dry cleaner doesn't have that kind of leverage. We have to set limits on who we will accept or who we'll go after for money. But I think that's all committee work, and I'd like to get that started right away. I think it's a great idea.
I'm open to it. I'm not traveling to set the date.
Adriana?
I know that all of us want the best for KPOT and for Pacifica. But it's, sometimes we have the tendency, and I experienced this during my tenure with Pacifica and KPOT, feel good motions. We have a big problem, what is being called payola. And I agree that you say at least if they are doing it, they should pay. It's like saying that we will do the little teeth, you know, we will allow, make that legal because we cannot go to everyone that make a little, steal some little things. That is what we have with payola. And it's happening in KPFT, and I can point out, all of us know, right? All of us know. And all of us know what that means. Teresa, you pointed that before too. What I don't like is we condoning those kind of attitudes. The second thing, we have not only the Green Party, the PNB spend some money to bring not only the Green Party convention. The first one was the Democratic convention. Well, we have problem at KPFT, and KPFT didn't accept what was coming from the national level, and we didn't have the Democratic convention through KPFT, when so other stations from Pacifica did it. That's what I'm saying, sometimes we need to be careful because we have wonderful ideas, but then we have a wall that doesn't want to admit or accept what was told to everybody. And the third thing about the affiliate program that Teresa was talking about, it's true that was a kind of a pilot program that was presented, but that had very difficult problems with that. The first one, Pacifica, will give kind of coverage to all of that. We are not saying that the affiliates cannot do underwriting. They are allowed to do it. They are affiliates. They got some of our programming, but they can do underwriting. But what we were saying, no under the directive of Pacifica, because that means, and we have triggered our attorney saying that we'll give more money to the director, the affiliate director personally, that is an employee from the foundation, will give more money. The money for Pacifica was $19,000. Are you sure that we want to be the big umbrella for underwriting for the affiliate for $19,000? Krieger, our FCC attorney, he said we need to be careful because there are some things that we need to adhere. If not, like I said before, Pacifica can lose the 501c3. And that is a big problem. It's easy to talk about what we want the money, I agree. But we need to be sure. We have three lawyers, including Robert Mark, that was our chair before, that mm-hmm. is a lawyer, working in the PMB with this concept, and they agree that a bunch of variables that are legal that we need to be sure that we comply with. If not, it's a good feel good motion that cost us more than the benefit that will give us. Then we need to be careful. And the foundation has directives. We cannot decide by ourselves. We need to have, we are just LSB. Our LSB is a subcommittee. It's a committee of the PMB. We are not an entity by ourselves. Our license that doesn't even belong to KPFD is owned by the Pacifica Foundation. It means the directive needs to come from the Pacifica Foundation and the approval comes from there.
That's right.
Mr. Chair.
That's right.
You're next.
Very much. Thank you. As much as I agree with Ms. Consonetti, I could disagree with her more on this issue. And I've been in Pacifica in my soul, my spirit. And one thing I want to say is that when I want to know about a heart, I want a heart, my heart taken care of. I don't go to a podiatrist. So when you talk about lawyers to me, and everybody's a lawyer, she's a lawyer, he's a lawyer, a tax lawyer, a Social Security lawyer, and so on, don't tell me nothing about the FCC. I am going to deal with an FCC lawyer and just not going to stop with Mr. Krieger. So what I'm going to tell you is that, don't you believe Texas Southern radio station have lawyers? Don't you believe U of H radio station have lawyers?
Yep.
Just take a look at what's going on. You're so afraid of underwriting, so afraid of losing your 501c3. They have 501c3s. And I'm not even trying to tell you to do half of what they're getting away with. The FCC has changed, ladies and gentlemen, since Ronald Reagan. There were things, like I said, when I first got in radio, you would get your hand cut off for saying, go buy John's Chicken Shack. Yeah. And they're helping us out here. That was a commercial in 1970. You'd have been shut down. That is not the case anymore. So the reality is, there's so much leeway in the law, you can't blow that smoke up me about losing a 501c3 and you doing underwriting. You just can't blow that smoke up me because I pay attention to the FCC rulings. I paid attention to what is called the evolution of non-commercial radio. And the reality is, you're right, that it should come from the Pacifica Foundation because it should be a Pacifica Foundation policy. But the reality we're faced with in the governance of Pacifica today is that you masterminds, Ted, and the rest of y'all with this take back, you wanted to correct the evil so good that you went from one extreme to the other in terms of the structure of Pacifica. Because the truth of the matter is, KPFA, WBI, they're doing what they want to do. Because there is no Pacifica policy with underwriting. So what I'm saying to you is that you have the authority right here in KPFT to go on. Why? Because there are no specific guidelines, regulations, stipulations from the Pacifica Foundation. It's open, baby. So what I'm going to close by saying is that I don't justify payola or legitimize it. I'm just simply saying I'm tired of giving it for free. That's all I'm saying. If it's been given away for free for 40 years, I'm saying stop it and get compensated for it. The last thing I'm saying is that the uniqueness of KPFT and Pacifica is this. I love music. I support music programs. We need a balance. But the reality is, the way things are situated now, I can make my own radio station in my car on a CD or in this telephone. I can make the music, only the music I want to hear. Ain't got to be Rourke. So I don't need you for my music. But when you start talking about content of mouth and conversation, that's why you need a balance of talk and music, because you can't go anywhere and create the content of a conversation, or you can't go anywhere and hear your voice on the radio having a conversation with other community people in your community. That's the uniqueness. That's the unique content that we ought to develop more. I said it when I came on this board. We should be the alternative to 950. Rush Limbaugh and the rest. We have not. We've not made ourselves the alternative of the panacea, the conduit of political progressiveness in the Houston area. We still have that opportunity to do that.
balanced with good music, original music, as Lou Hill had in mind. Coming in the studio, oh, God forbid if we ever get new studios and new state-of-the-art equipment and have expanded studios where we can bring musicians in and they really do concerts over there. God forbid that. I love the strategic plan, but I agree with you, sis. We've got to stop talking about it, and we've got to get to the business of it, but underwriting better be part of it.
Y'all got to learn how to work together.
Okay, so right. We have 2 minutes left. Let me say that I would like to work with people who are willing to go and talk to these people, these organizations on the list. We'll get everybody on the list. Some of you know these people. I know some of the people. I know many of the people, actually. They're activists for business.
Oh, yeah.
Community, where I've been an activist for 35 years. So we're talking to friends. We're talking to people who ought to be allies. And the question we want to ask, I think, is how can we be of use? How can we work together? How can we do special events for you? I'm supportive of doing ethical underwriting. And I think there is such a thing. Would you like to contribute some money to us just to have, you know, once every other day somewhere on the station we mention your name? How could we work together and begin that conversation and see where it goes?
We can't do that, but TSU and U of H have been doing it for years.
Yes,
what?
The FCC says it's legal.
Let's let George finish, please.
What's your alternative? Put money in the bank.
Let George finish.
Outreach.
Have you been doing that for the last 4 years? How effective has it been? See him?
You should be insulted.
I see the results, my friend.
Point of order. Let the chair have the floor.
See the results.
Point of order. We have reached the time. I would like to see us spend 2 more minutes to appoint a chair, a vice chair, or co-chairs, and to set a time for a meeting of a committee to take this conversation into a stage of some degree of implementation.
Okay, so Ted wants to move to extend time for it.
Leaving...
You don't have to extend time because we're out of time for the meeting.
Well, but we're out of committee of the whole and back into our regular meeting.
Which is
I motion that we extend 5 minutes.
It's now 2 minutes after 10. So we needed a motion to extend time if you want to do anything.
Motion to extend 5 minutes.
Second.
Yep. Any objection to extending time?
Well, he's the chair.
I know, but is there any objection to extending time? Hearing none, Duane, it's yours. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been suggested that we take advantage of this synergy of energy that we have tonight and set a date, certain time to create and to continue this air of working together and hoping to move forward with the strategic plan. So looking at my calendar, which is if I need to be there, let's start with, we've already committed to 26. We want to do it this week, next week. What's your pleasure?
After fun drive, please. Some of us are really busy.
Say this, but after the election.
Uh-oh. No. That's the 12th. That's the 8th, right?
Which election?
The public election.
The real election.
President.
Okay, so that puts us right at, we're right at the next day after the election as an LSB meeting. So
why do we have to wait till after the election?
Because Teresa is all wrapped up and tied up in this election.
Because I'm working the election.
Are you working early voting too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So why don't we set the initial meeting? Because y'all, be honest, we're not going to get much done in these last week or two of this month because we've got, the 12th, the 19th, the 26th. We've already set something for the 26th. I see something here for the 28th. I don't know if that's us. But let's go into earliest. You might miss this one. Earliest would be the 2nd. Then we'll have a subsequent meeting after that with Teresa and John.
The 2nd,
mm-hmm.
We've got the finance committee.
Okay. Well, let's go to Thursday then. The 3rd.
P&B meeting.
Oh! Y'all fight for it, I tell you.
They're meeting almost every Thursday.
I can't win. Okay. And Tuesday the 8th is election day, so that's not going to happen. Okay, the 10th, the day after, Thursday the 10th.
It's okay.
Thursday, try not to use Thursday.
Well, right now there's nothing scheduled, but there might be.
There might be easy reasons. Thursday the 10th.
Fine with me, so far.
Okay, Thursday the 10th.
You can meet without those of us in the P&B. There's just four of us.
Right. And it's the initial meeting. We just need to get started. All right.
What time?
We'll meet at the station.
I object to us meeting at the station.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, it's the meeting. No.
For all practical purposes, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I make an announcement? I didn't make one. Y'all know that I deal with the criminal justice system 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. The criminal justice system, the mass incarceration, is going to hold our Christmas at the jail for the fourth year on Saturday, the December the 24th. We give gifts to the kids that come out from visiting their family, usually their daddies, but sometimes their mamas at the jail. We need money to buy these gifts. If you don't want to give us money, give us the gifts. But I personally would appreciate it if you as a board, you say you only spend $1,800 of that $2,400, spend a couple of hundred dollars.
Allocate that to y'all. we got time to put that on the agenda.
Okay, my second announcement is, we all know that Texas considers no one innocent, and when someone gets off the death row, it's a rejoicing. About a year, a little bit over a year ago, a guy named Dwayne Dobie Brown got off the death row, who's a personal friend of mine, and so I'm very happy. His attorney has come out with a book, and he is, I don't know the correct word, launching the book in Houston, because Dobie's got convicted out of Harris County. It is, unfortunately, if your friends don't show up for that meeting on the 26th of October.
Really?
On a
That's
Wednesday,
when it is?
On a Wednesday.
At 7 o'clock?
At the Brazos Bookstore at 7 o'clock. There will be no arguing there if you want an alternative to this meeting. If you want to buy the book and you cannot get there, Nancy, if you want to buy the book and you cannot, Nancy, I'm talking. If you want to buy the book and you cannot get there, please go to the website of the Brazos Bookstore and order through them. You will get a signed copy of Grace and Justice. In Texas, I believe the name of it is. Give a thumbs up to Dobie for beating the system. He was an innocent man going in. He was innocent coming out.
Very good. I suggest you come Very back good. On that children's gift thing for our November meeting.
Okay, it's not my thing. It's Mike Allen's thing, but he is in Standing Rock right now.
This is the Harris County Jail, y'all.
Harris County on Baker.
Excuse me. Mike Allen can make a PSA at KPFT about that and about the book too, and we usually do that free, but because of ethical sponsorship we charge them now.
Well, the prison show
can we adjourn
briefly?
It's meeting adjourned.